This is your friendly neighborhood author, Jonathan, and you are listening to Season 5 of the Floor Rejects podcast, The Isle of Artemisia.
Chapter 12, Suspicion. Barrett, wake up. Barrett can hear Anaxis' voice before he can see him, but when he peeks up with one squinted eye, he sees no one. He looks around, pulling his head from the sand. The large man is crouched beside him, shaking him gently. The smell of fresh fish is on him. A string of them lay near the river's edge. Anaxis must have snuck back to get his fishing rod. What? Barrett asks, sitting up with force. Sand falls down from his hair, and Anaxis brushes it away from Barrett's face softly, but after a moment he draws his hand back, as if he'd been stuck by a thorn. I need to talk to you, Anaxis says, and his gaze narrows before looking around. Barrett does too. Crystal, Nick, and Daniel all stand by the river, appearing to talk quietly to each other. Okay, let's talk, Barrett says. Not here. Follow me. Anaxis says, and for the first time, Barrett ventures farther back in the cave, following X as he leads his way back in the dark. When they can barely see each other, he stops. Barrett bumps into the man, and his hot skin is a shock to Barrett's cold palms. Anaxis looks to him, his eyes shining unnaturally in the dark. I do not trust your friend, the one called Nick, Anaxis says, and Barrett shakes his head. X, I told you, he's just a little bit strange, Barrett excuses. Anaxis crosses his arms and huffs. I've seen him before. He is familiar to me, Anaxis says, and Barrett looks at him strangely. I met him on the mainland. He can't be one of them or anything like that. I'm sure of it, Barrett insists, and Anaxis looks at him suspiciously. I promise, X, there's nothing bad about him. He's just a weird guy, Barrett says. Then why do I know him? Anaxis asks. I don't know, X. Barrett's already getting annoyed at the suspicions his friends were all developing. They'd set in so quickly, and Barrett was quickly catching up to the fact that they were all together and safe, but now there were these veiled, quiet accusations being whispered in his ear. Barrett, I know something is different about him. I can feel it. I've seen him before, on this island, Anaxis whispers, staring intently out to the ground of the people by the river's edge. Barrett takes Anaxis' elbows in his hand, shaking him gently. X, you have to let it go. I can't have you going after one of the people we just rescued, Barrett says. Anaxis groans. He is a danger to you, Barrett. I know this, he says, scrubbing his face with his hands. Anaxis, you can't go accusing people of being some sort of spy for a group of eternal island dwellers, Barrett squeaks, his frustration getting the better of him. The group by the river look up at him in unison, for a moment before turning back to each other. Anaxis draws a step closer to Barrett, his voice lower. Barrett, I am sure you have to believe me, he says, and he slides his hands down to grip Barrett by the shoulders. Barrett softens. The man was obviously dead serious, and even if he was wrong, Barrett was going to have to humor him for a bit if he wanted any peace. Okay, I believe you, but what should I do? Barrett asks, and Anaxis sighs. I do not know. Just do not trust him. Do not go anywhere with him. Do not be alone with him, Anaxis says, and his fingers move gently, massaging Barrett's tense shoulders. He relaxes, and for a second time, he closes his eyes, letting his fingers dig into the knotted, coiled muscles. Then the hands are gone, and Barrett opens his eyes to find that Anaxis was looking out, watching as the others headed back towards them now, walking in tandem in a straight line. Anaxis walks out first, and Barrett jogs to catch up, and at once the two groups meet at the mouth of the cave, staring each other down. There's thick tension between all of them for a moment before Daniel steps forward timidly towards Anaxis. We were just talking about how to fix the fish up. We don't know how. Can you show us? He asks, and Barrett smiles. Anaxis nods, and the two of them go to the fish, Anaxis quickly getting into the intricacies of gutting them. Chris? Can I talk to you? Barrett asks, and Crystal shrugs, walking back to her spot on the river. Nick begins to follow, but Barrett turns to him. Alone, just for a minute, he asks, but Nick can tell it isn't a question. He spins on his heel, going to lurk behind Anaxos and Daniel, the former of which stares up at him suspiciously as he approaches. "What, Bear?" she asks whimsically, sitting by the water, dipping her toes in the river as it rushes past. Her energy was off. Usually, at least as long as he had known her, she was upbeat, always excited, and an optimist. He knew she'd been through hell, but she wasn't just tired or beaten down. It was like she was a different person. She'd been very cold to everyone since she'd scrambled up out of that hole. "Chris, what's wrong? What's bothering you?" he asks her, sitting next to her on the small rocky bank. She laughs quietly. "Nothing, Barrett," she says, kicking at the water. Barrett rolls his eyes. Now was not the time to be dramatic or moody. Then he has a much darker thought. "Did something happen to you?" he asks, and she snickers. "Other than being hypnotized, abducted, and tortured by crazy sea people? No, nothing happened to me," she says, tossing her head back, leaning on her elbows and staring emptily up at the sky. She was so beautiful, sunning herself there, but her face was set harshly, her mouth in a pinched grim line as the sun beat down on her tanned skin. "Crystal, I want you to talk to me. Tell me what's wrong. You're off balance. Tell me what's going on in your head," he pleads, and with a lazy, half-bored glance, she turns to him, rolling onto one elbow. "Well, after the first night screaming and begging from a hole in the ground, I was terrified. After the second, I was terrified and starving, but you know, after the third night, I was just tired. I'm just so tired, Bear. Forgive me," she says, looking at him harshly. Barrett knew she was right, but still, she was throwing him off, and Daniel too. Plus, she seemed to be getting closer to Nick, and that felt like a bad path to go down, especially with Anaxos hot on his trail. "I get it, Chris, I do, but you have to snap out of this if we're ever going to get home," he says, and she takes her opportunity to roll her eyes. "How, Barrett? How are we going to get away? Does Tarzan know some secret way back to the mainland?" she asks, her voice rising as she starts to get angry. "I don't know, Chris, but this attitude of yours isn't helping. I need Daniel on his A-game, and for that, I need you to be on yours," he says, and she groans, shutting her eyes and leaning back to face the sun again. "When you guys start to figure out a way out of here, I'll perk up," she says, smiling and raising her voice shrilly like a cartoon character, just to mock him. "Fine, be that way. But do you want to hear something crazy? Maybe take your mind off your own issues? Nick kissed me again when we went looking for the plant," he gossips, and her eyes pop open, but she only manages to turn her head a slight bit. "Again?" she asks, still sounding bored, but just a bit more engaged. Barrett laughs. "Yes, he kissed me on the boat that first day, and he kissed me again earlier when we went to go get the plant," Barrett says, and Crystal turns towards him in earnest now. "And how did that make you feel?" she asks, a little bit of energy back in her voice. Barrett shivers. "The first time was a little exciting, but the second time, it was just weird," he tells her, happy to have his little secret off of his chest. "Well, I think that's fun. Why not go with it?" she asks, a hint of a smile twitching at the edges of her lips. "I don't know, he's just not my type, and this is not the time," Barrett says, and Crystal actually giggles. "I think it's exactly the time, Bear. We're stuck here, and he's exactly your type," she says, rolling onto her belly. "I just can't do it. Not right now. There's too much other stuff going on," Barrett says, and Crystal, after a few moments of silence, looks at him with a coy smirk. "You're into Anaxos, aren't you?" she accuses, and Barrett scoffs. "No, I just think that now is not the time for anything romantic," Barrett says, and his friend giggles, her spirits already rising. "Who said romantic? You could just have a little fling until we get off this island," she says, getting up and finally moving more like herself. She was visibly less sullen as Barrett looked up at her, no doubt fueled by the smell of cooked fish from the cave. "No, Chris, shut up," he says, getting up to follow her as she made her way back to the cave. As Barrett smelled the fire, he rushes back in. "Put the fire out, they can track the smoke," Barrett hisses, but Anaxos just smiles at him and points up. The smoke was pooling on the ceiling, drifting lazily about before falling out of the cave, moving so gradually it was invisible as it exited. "Cave means no smoke," Anaxos says, and Barrett calms. The fish did smell wonderful, and as the sun sinks down over the edge of the forest and the four of them eat their fish with gusto, food getting them all a little more jovial, save for Anaxos, who still watched Nick whenever he wasn't looking. The night began in earnest, the bugs chirping and animals rustling in the bushes, and there was silence, save for the rushing of water. Then Daniel, full for the first time in days, leans up from his place laying next to Crystal and says something that sends the group into a full-on panic. X, why are your eyes glowing? Okay, what do I like about this chapter? Well, I like a couple things. First thing I like is how strongly suspicious Anaxos is of Nick. I like that he sticks to his guns. I like that even when Barret is like, no, I'm sure of it, I saw him on the mainland, there's no way that he's, like, evil, Anaxos sticks to his guns, and I like that. The other thing that I really like is the way that Crystal kind of... Sorry, the chinchilla. The way that Crystal bounces back from her depression as soon as she gets a little bit of gossip in her. It really kind of makes me laugh. I think it's funny. Oh, I have the hiccups. God damn. I'm having a hard day, you guys. I really like that. I feel like it... Klaus? Can you be quiet? Thank you. I really like the way that she is moody and upset, and I like that Barret kind of broaches the subject of, did something happen to you? And she's like, no, you fucking moron. Well, I'm stuck on an island. I'm stranded here. I've got no food, no water, no nothing. I've been in a hole for 3 days, and you're asking me to perk up? Like, it makes no sense. But to Barret, he's been living on a beach with some hottie for a couple days. He doesn't see the problem. He doesn't see any big issue. So I like that she's kind of like not going to just roll around and be happy just because Barret says so, but also that she perks up like as soon as there's a little bit of gossip. I think it's funny. I don't know. I think it's funny. Some things that I could do better, the length of the chapter, finding a better place to record. I don't know. I just feel like there's too much noise in this room and it's really starting to bug me. I think that the next chapter, something exciting needs to happen. I think we've had two chapters that have kind of been developing this like buildup of nervous energy, and something needs to happen. Maybe not a resolution to this nervous energy, but something big needs to happen so that we can kind of let some of that breath out that we've been sucking in the last couple of weeks. But I do think this is a good chapter. I think that it gives Crystal a little more personality. I think it gives Nick even more suspicion kind of shrouded on him. I think it's good. I think it's interesting. But really, that's what I liked and disliked this chapter. I stumbled a few times, but I'm not going to go back and edit it out. You know, it's a work in progress. That is what this whole thing is. So I can't really be mad at myself if I don't flawlessly execute every single syllable. How's your day been? How's your week been? Mine's been good. I'm taking hair loss pills because I'm pretty sure I'm losing my hair. And it's causing all my hair that I have to fall out. So that's interesting. Hate my new job. Absolutely hate it. Miserable every single day. Sure am. But I'm not going to tell anybody that because I don't really want to be seen as a disappointment. Wah, wah. Not to get too serious on here to my 5 listeners, but I don't want to be seen as a disappointment, anybody. What else has been going on? Oh, there's a huge art fair in my neighborhood this week. Well, this weekend. It's going to shut down every street for 5 blocks, and I am like so annoyed by it. It's not even funny. But you're not here for that. You're not here for the gossip. You're just here for the story. So there's my story. There's my analysis. I'm going to be back next week. I'm not making any promises about how long the chapter's going to be or what it's going to cover, but I'll be back next week with a new chapter of the Isle of Artemisia. But until then, I appreciate you watching, listening, participating, however you're participating, and I'll see you then. Bye. Oh, my clicker didn't work. Damn it. Let's try now. Bye. No, that didn't work either. Okay, bye. Bye.